Today more than ever, our homes, churches, and nation need strong leadership. Ronnie Floyd has over 30 years of experience leading one of the largest churches in America. He has led the largest evangelical community in the nation and is influencing the country with strong biblical convictions. And he believes that people can change the world. With his legacy of influence, Ronnie Floyd is committed to the development of leaders. And now, here's your host, Ronnie Floyd, on Life and Leadership Today.
Have you ever noticed that there is a dance that is going on between God and country in the minds and the leadership of so many people today, especially among Christian leaders, not only Christian leaders in the church, but even beyond, about whether or not we can truly love our country and at the same time give allegiance to Jesus Christ? In fact, I've even heard it said, well, you know, we're not going to celebrate or say anything about our country today in church. We worship the Lord. Well, you know, during this week of celebration in America, I want to talk about this very, very challenging issue in our culture today. I've decided, along with our team today on Ronnie Floyd, on Life and Leadership, that this would be a solo podcast. A time when I talk to you from my heart about our nation and about this issue of the dance that is seemingly going on between God and between country today. I mean, let me make it really clear right up front. My allegiance is to Jesus Christ and Him alone. I am owned by no man, by no entity, by no organization, by no political party, by no candidate. I am owned by no one, including my church. I am owned only by Jesus Christ, my Lord. But I'm also very thankful to live in a great country, a country that during this week, every American should celebrate the freedom we have. And for anyone that would ever say, in our church, we don't ever talk about this, I wonder, are you taking off on July the 4th? You've been given the freedom of that in our country. Are you going to preach the gospel today? Are you going to preach the gospel in your church? Or are you going to live out the gospel in your business? Are you going to live out the gospel in the sports world or the world of media, whatever you do for a living? If you're going to live out the message of the gospel and you're going to live out your faith, it's because you have the precious freedom of what we call religious liberty in this country. And that religious liberty upon which this nation was founded has cost a great high price. That if that's our feeling about our country, we need to ask ourselves, have we left what is most important about our nation? And that is that we do serve a God upon which this nation was founded upon, of which most of the forefathers of our country were men of great faith. And today we need to understand that this dance that is supposedly happening between God and country needs to be placed in perspective. So I thought I would just begin the conversation and talk about it with you this week. I want to mention several things today because I really believe that we need perspective in these areas. We need to realize that there is a force that is going on in our country today that is very, very strong, and that force is trying to destroy our nation. It's the same force that is trying to destroy your family. It is the same force that is trying to destroy your career. It is the same force that is trying to destroy your church. It's the same force that is trying to literally destroy your children. And it's the force of a satanic, demonic influence in this country. It's been existence for many years, and since the fall in the Garden of Eden, according to Genesis 3, the entire world has fallen, and it will remain fallen until Jesus comes again. But we need to remind ourselves, those of us who are people of faith, and a country that supposedly was founded upon the faith found in the Word of God, and the faith of our fathers who forwarded religious liberty in this country, that we need to do exactly what the Apostle Paul calls us to do in Ephesians 6, 11 and 12. Put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against the tactics of the devil. For our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the world powers of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavens. Ephesians 6, 11 and 12. That is a call to every one of us, that it doesn't matter what we do for a living, we had better put on the full armor of God. Every dad, every spiritual leader in a home, even if that spiritual leader is a mom, we need to put on the full armor of God on our children and on our lives every day. Because we need to see that our battle is much greater than ideologies and mindsets of men and women and political parties and forces in this world. But we are fighting against the world powers of darkness that are trying to destroy the very root of who we are. Therefore, we need to see that Satan wants to use our speech to disrupt us, our speech to divide us. Satan never brings people together. Satan always divides people. He destroys people. In fact, when you think about it, even in relationship to the recent shooting in Washington, D.C., that happened against Congressman Scalise of the state of Louisiana and so many others that were involved in that shooting, thank God, that did not take their lives. But what's so sad about this is that we're talking about people who are serving our country and the forces of evil are going against them. We need to understand that we are in a major, major battle, and it's not about Democrats and it's not about Republicans. It's not about ideologies that might differ along the way. But it's about one thing. We're fighting for the soul of our nation. We're fighting for the future of our country. And when you look at the way we talk to each other, the way we say things about each other, that is so opposite of what God desires for our life. I mean, one of the greatest illustrations in today's world is what's happening among ethnicities in our country. The racial tension that is going on. We need to all remember that we're made in the image of God, regardless of the color of our skin. We need to understand, as followers of Jesus Christ, we hold up high the dignity of human life, all the way from the womb to the tomb, but also in between the time. We believe firmly and deeply that we stand against all mentalities and mindsets that would forward a white supremacy mindset in this country. That is so foreign to the Word of God. And I believe any real committed believer to Jesus Christ understands the dignity of human life and would stand against it as well. Everyone is created in the image of God. And then when you think about how social networking is used in such a negative capacity in our country, it should break our hearts. Social networking is contributing to the division in our country and has created so much of what we talked about initially that I'm going to really address later on here as well today, this dance between God and country, with people saying things that are so foreign to what they really believe. You know, it reminds me of what the Bible says in Proverbs 17:19. Anyone who loves to quarrel loves sin. You know what? The last place you ought to quarrel is on social networking. And if that's what you get into, let me tell you what's going to happen. Sooner or later, there's going to be sin. It's just like a person that talks a lot. Have you ever noticed this? A person that talks a lot, they end up talking too much. Oh, listen, I'm reminded of what also the Proverbs teaches us, and that is the tongue has the power of both life and of death. I mean, you think about the condition of the American church. So many churches are struggling with internal fellowship because of the power of the tongue. You think about leader to leader in our country today. Whether it's politics, business, church, whatever it is, we need to understand that our words have the power to bless or our words have the power to destroy. We need to watch our words. Words will literally shape so much of what people think about us, and words shape the perspectives of others, even about themselves. I want to challenge those of us on this podcast today. Let's choose to use words that bless and not curse. Because you see, somehow in this day and time we live in, we've got to counteract toward this mentality that there's no hope in our country. I believe that my God is bigger than all of that, and I believe my God is able to take every person and bring them to Him. Our God specializes in people that are far from Him and bringing them back to Him. He specializes in countries and personalities and leaders and then people even like you and me in bringing us back to Him again and again and again. And you know, there's only one group that ultimately can change the future trajectory of our nation. And listen carefully, it's not going to be Republicans. It's not going to be Democrats. It's not going to be independents. It really, even to some degree, will not even matter in relationship to who does what and where they do it from. It comes back to the church. You see, this is a time when the church needs to model what real unity is about. This is a time when the church needs to come together. This is a time when the church needs to rise up and shine and be different from everything and everyone else in this world. And then when the church witnesses what is going on in America today, and when the church witnesses all of the cities that are going through such traumatic experiences with murders and shootings and disruptions racially and ethnically, the church needs to wake up and understand that we must become the light that shines in the midst of the darkness, that we have got to come together in the church. And we need pastors and preachers and those of you that are out here and who are lay people and lay supporters in your church, encourage your pastor. We need pastors, preachers who will preach the Word of God, who will preach with courage, who will call the church to repentance and will call the country to repentance, but do so with a broken heart and do so with a hopeful heart that God has given us the power of the gospel, and the gospel is the hope of the world. And the church needs to be the one to lead positively. And the church needs to be the one who is believing God for great things. And you know, in this week here in our nation, where we are now once again finding ourselves in the midst of such foreign threats as well as internal threats in our country, we all need to pause and thank God for our military today. You know what? I hear people at times say, well, you know, we make too big of a deal of that. Oh, really? Do you know America, they love the military. And I love the military. I am so thankful for every man and every woman that has ever served in this country's military force. Those here and those around the world. Those that are serving today and those who served years and years ago. I believe that we need to do everything we can to lift them up, because it's that group that stands protecting us every day of our lives, when we sleep, when we work, when we worship. And this is why today I just don't get personally the dance that so many leaders are having today between God and country. Listen, it's not a choice. You might see it as a tight line that you've got to walk on, or a tight rope you've got to walk on. But listen carefully, is it really that tight? Unashamedly, we're followers of Jesus Christ. But also, I'm an American. I'm an American. That's what I am. I live in a great country. I'm not going to shy away from that. Why would I shy away from that? I mean, I would rather live in this country than any country in the world. And I've been all over this world. And what we need to see today is that God has shed His grace on this country. And I can love Jesus Christ with all of my heart. And at the same time, knowing it with perspective, I can also love my country. I love Jesus with all my heart, but I also love my wife. I also love my kids. I want to call all of us today to love God first, love His gospel, love His word, speak His word, live His word, preach His word, point people to Jesus Christ. But while you do that, you can still love your country. And while you do that, you can call your country to God. And while you do that, you can make a difference with your life exactly where you are. Because you see, if leaders who are spiritual leaders in our country, when I say spiritual leaders, I'm not just talking about pastors of local churches. I'm talking about church leaders. Listen, I want to say this to all of us today. We need to call our country to spiritual awakening. It's been in the darkest seasons when God has brought awakening to this land. We need to unite today in prevailing prayer for spiritual awakening, because spiritual awakening is the greatest need in this country. I mean, when you look at our history, think about Jonathan Edwards. They called him perhaps the most brilliant man to have ever walked on this country's soil. It was Edwards that God called people to pray and fast, to believe God, to come together in clear agreement, visible union, and extraordinary prayer for the next great awakening in America. It was him who would call the forwarding of the gospel around America and the world. It was Whitfield who joined him at that very same era in American life in the 1700s to shake America for Christ. George Whitfield forwarded the powerful message of the need to be born again. In the Second Great Awakening, it was men like Charles Grandison Finney, Timothy Dwight, and so many others who were instrumental preachers of the gospel. It was Edwards who had influence in both of those awakenings, one by his life, the other by his writings. And then when you look at it, in 1857, 1858, it was a layperson by the name of Jeremiah Lanphier that began a prayer movement in the city of New York. Listen to me. In the city of New York, where every noonday thousands of men and women would leave the workplace and gather together in places to pray for the country. And miraculously, in that two-year span of time, 1 million Americans came to Christ. At the same time, 1 million people living in Great Britain and Ireland also came to Christ. And the greatest missions explosion in that generation happened with the student volunteer movement, where 20,000 young people surrendered their lives to gospel missions. Oh, movements like those great moves of God that I've mentioned here today, they helped formulate some of the great men of the faith like Charles Haddon Spurgeon, D.L. Moody, and William Booth, who literally became the man who started the Salvation Army. Even since the 1960s, when the Jesus movement came, in the early 1970s, it's been that long since the last great move of God in this country. And you know what? What do we do in our country? Do we give up? Do we punt? Do we say, oh, there's no hope, there's no way, there's no future, there's no hope? Oh, no. No, we cannot do that. Listen today. We have got to come together and cry out to God in a united force as the Church of Jesus Christ, prevailing in prayer for the next great awakening in this country. We need to trust God for what He says in James 5:16, that says the prayer of a righteous man is very powerful in its effect. And we need to call out to God in our churches. Give America a spiritual awakening. Oh, listen, I want to challenge every pastor, every spiritual leader of every church in America. Move your church to pray for the next great awakening. Move your church to pray extraordinarily. What does it mean to pray extraordinarily? It means to pray more than you're praying in the ordinary, meaning praying more than you're praying now. Are you praying for your country? Are you praying for the leaders of your country? But even more importantly, are you praying for a spiritual awakening to happen in this nation? It was Billy Graham who said that a spiritual awakening can bring about evangelization of the world in our generation. We can pray, we can be involved in processes, we can pray, we can be involved in politics, but we need to understand that the greatest thing we can do for our country is to pray for the next great awakening. If we want change, we need to pray. If we want Congress to be together, we need to pray. If we want to overcome the forces of evil in this country, we need to pray. If we want to come together in this country, we need to pray. And if the church doesn't pray, then who will pray? We need to believe God again. And we need to understand with deep abiding belief and faith that if God could bring awakening in the 1700s and God could bring awakening in the 1800s, and God could even give a touch of power in the 60s of the 1900s, then God can in this century give America awakening. And I'm telling you, I am going to cry out to God until the day I die for the next great awakening. I want to be known as a man. I want to be known as a leader. I want to be known as a pastor. I want to be known as an American who even loves his country so much that, my friend, even with all of our challenges, with all of our problems, with all of our hurts, with all of our pains, with all of our mistakes, there's hope. And the hope is found in Jesus Christ alone. Therefore, let's stop pretending there is a dance between having allegiance to Jesus Christ and Him alone, and at the same time, loving our country, praying for our nation, praying for the leaders of our country, which is, by the way, in the Word of God to do. And do we not even have the faith enough to believe that God is big enough and powerful enough to extend His glorious gospel and the power of His glory and the manifestation of the Holy Spirit all over this United States of America and around the globe? So I would say to every one of you today, the Church of Jesus Christ needs to come together, and America needs to come together, and the Church needs to stand with great commitment and courage and tell this country, we need to come together. But we can't tell the country to do something that we ourselves are not willing to do as the Church of Jesus Christ. We need to unite in prevailing prayer for the next great awakening in this country. And we need to do everything we can to pray for it to happen in our generation. Father, I ask in the name of Jesus today that You would give to America the next great awakening. We believe God can do it, and we ask for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for spending time with us today. Please subscribe, rate, and share this podcast with others. Also follow Ronnie via social media on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Ronnie Floyd. Learn more about Ronnie by visiting ronniefloyd.com. Don't forget to join us next week as we spend time learning together about life and leadership today.